things that we must do this evening for several different phases of our life. You know, there's a few things. Let me make sure I'm turned on here. There we go. There's a lot of things that we can do to be prepared for some type of special event in our life. If you're an athlete, you might think about this preparation. You spend years training your body, your reflexes, your strategy to refine your skill for your craft, to do your best, to perform your best. To demonstrate your very best as an athlete, you have to prepare and practice. If you're going into a different field of study for a different type of job or a different line of work, maybe like a doctor or a technician of some type, you may have years of study that you have to go through to prepare for your skills. For example, if you're an HVAC technician or an electrician of some type, you may need to go to school for a year and then have several years of apprenticeship before you become a journeyman. If you're a doctor, you may have 8 years of school that you have to go through of general medical knowledge, and then a few more years that you have to attend in a special field to master your craft before you're fully prepared. If you'd like to open up your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10, we're going to be looking there at some of the things we must do to be prepared for a significant event in our lives today. Romans chapter 10. Yes, being prepared comes in many different arenas in our lives. Sometimes being prepared helps you to carry out a certain function, but also sometimes it helps to keep you from doing something. I'll tell you, I've learned a great deal of appreciation and respect for what Bruce does in being prepared to be able to teach class and to teach these lessons up here. I admire that. It takes a lot of preparation. And I'll tell you, this evening, as you endure me up here, that you'll be glad to know that part of my preparation is intentionally not talking a lot. You know, I have to hone it down because there's sometimes when people say there's somebody that talks a lot, that's me. That's me. I will talk for hours on end. And there's times when people say that someone talks too much. Yeah, that's me. But in all seriousness, it takes time to be prepared. So there's different things we understand that in our physical life. I'll give you another example. Before I went to boot camp, I was in college taking different military training courses. These classes helped to prepare us for what it was going to be like in this significant event that was coming up, boot camp. We learned to fold our sheets and prepare our beds. We learned different drills and ceremonies, different things we needed to know from military manuals, from different instruction manuals, and we rehearsed that knowledge over and over again. This was all to help prepare us for the challenges that we were about to be faced with as we went through our military training. Something significant in our life was coming up. We needed to be prepared. We had to run miles and miles to prepare our bodies. We had to do physical feats to prepare our minds of things that we could do that we didn't think we were capable of. I remember a time, it was one foggy morning. We were out on a run, and we'd just run for miles and miles, and we'd run up and down stairs in the stadium, the football stadium. We'd run around, and we stopped, and then they said before we were done, we had to do a whole bunch of push-ups. And I thought, there's no way. There's no way I can do it. Physically, I can't. But then we did it, and we had to push through it, and we did it, and it helped to prepare our minds, help prepare our bodies and prepare our minds for the things that we were going to be coming up, the significant event that was coming up. There are things that we must do to be prepared in other significant events in our physical life. You get financially prepared to open a business. You get mentally prepared for the changes that come in life through maybe marriage or buying a house or having children. There's other things that happen like loss of loved ones that you have to prepare for. Going on a trip. There's all different kinds of things. The list can go on and on. It can be very extensive, the things in our physical life we have to be prepared for. We understand that. We understand what it means to start getting prepared for these significant events in our lives. But there's also things we have to prepare for spiritually. There's things that I need to do. There's things that we must do to be prepared spiritually for things that are significant that are coming up in our spiritual life. What is it that the Bible tells us about this? We as Christians need to be looking to God's Word each and every time that we need to know the things that we must do in order to be prepared for significant events that are coming up. One of the significant events that's coming for all of us is the end of this life, the end of this physical life. It's something we all must prepare for. This evening, we're going to look briefly at some of those spiritual things we must do to be prepared for this significant event in two separate sections. two separate sections, what I must do to prepare for my spiritual salvation and what I must do to prepare for the end of this life, right? So two separate things. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it reads, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. This is the day that's coming, right? We need to be prepared for the end of this life. The cords of life will be cut and we'll fly away, right? Not only prepare for our physical death at the end of life, but we need to be prepared for our spiritual judgment that's coming. It comes in two sets, and there are two different things that we need to prepare for. We need to prepare for our salvation that will get us through judgment, and we need to be prepared for the things that we have to do to depart this life. That is, the things that we must keep doing to be prepared unto the end of our life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 reads, as his divine power has given us all things which pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. This life will end. This life has corruption that will end. And we have to be prepared for that. God has given us everything that we need to know in his word to be prepared and to make preparations that will last through the rest of our life. Psalms 119, verse 160, Psalm 119, verse 160 reads, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. As John 17:17 reads, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We have nowhere else to look but this book right here that teaches us everything we need to know, the truth of God's word, and what we must do. When I was preparing for boot camp, I didn't read philosophy books. I didn't read books that taught me how to crochet better or some other thing. I didn't read those kinds of books. I went to military manuals. I went to instruction manuals that were going to prepare me in a pattern to be ready for success in the thing that I was coming up to. This is the same for God's word. It sets a formula. It sets a pattern. It sets a standard that we need to go to be successful for how we can attain, that is, how we are to prepare for judgment, how we gain our salvation. Let's look at these verses here. Many of us are very familiar with them. Many of us could recite at least some of them by heart, and that's good. That we could direct someone in basic understanding and knowledge of how to attain salvation. It's still good that we read these. It's still good that we go to these again and again, because when we teach, we want to go back to the Bible again and again as we share these with others. The first thing we must do to be prepared is to hear the truth of God's word. Romans 10, verse 17 lays it out. So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to build our faith, we have to hear the word. We have to study it. We have to meditate on it. We have to look at it. We have to actually open this book and read it. It won't get into our brain by osmosis like I wished it would in college, when I would put textbooks underneath my pillow and lay on them at night and hope, oh, that will get into my brain and I'll retain this knowledge. That's not how it works. We actually have to open it up and read it. We understand that. We know we have to open this up to read it and hear to grow our faith. The next thing we must do is we must believe it. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8 and verse 24 reads, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus is telling us we must read and reread and understand and see that he was who he said he was. That he was Lord. He was the only begotten Son of God. This does not happen overnight sometimes for us. We might have to read a story again and again, maybe mature in a different part of our life to understand it, but we have to keep doing it. We have to keep going back to it and rereading it so that we get it. We have to. It's something that we must do to be prepared. Next, in order to prepare, one of the things we must do is we must repent of our sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 reads, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends men all everywhere to repent. There is no longer any excuse in this life. All the excuses are put aside, right? God is not going to overlook ignorance anymore. We all have access to the Bible. Everyone has access to it. You can pull it up on your phone, on a computer. You can watch videos about it. You have this book right here. You can find it sometimes just written in different places as you go around town, right? God's word is known. It's out there. We have no excuse. We must repent of our sins when we understand that we are sinning. We have to take special care to share it with everyone. Once we've heard, once we believe in Jesus, the things that he said will convict us, and we need to repent of our sins. The next thing we must do is we must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. This is not a confession of our sins, as some will say. They'll say you have to confess your sins to be... This is a confession of the one who is washing away our sins. We must understand that difference. This is a confession of Jesus as the Son of God. We are confessing him before men, that we believe that he is the Son of God. I heard it said one time that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This is that remedy. This is that remedy. It is the good confession that we believe in. We stand for Christ, that he was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God. The next step, the next thing we must do in order to be prepared is we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. As we've studied in class these last few weeks, the doctrine of faith alone does not hold water. It does not stand up. It's contrary to Scripture. Every example of conversion that we see in the New Testament demonstrates that baptism is a necessary part of salvation. We must do it. It's not something we can omit. We can't skip it. Just like I had to know how to make my uniform every day, I couldn't skip a step. Everything you must do, part of that is baptism to be prepared for the end of this life. Lastly, in the set of things we must do is we must live faithfully. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul here is telling us that we can't just check a box and boom, we're done. We're good to go, right? This is a race. This is something we endure through. This takes time. This is where we have to put effort forward every day. This is where the two sections that we're talking about overlap that we're going to be looking at today. But being prepared for judgment to attain our salvation, being prepared for the end of our life, because once this pattern, we follow these steps in scriptures, that's not just the end of our story. That's the beginning. That's where we have to keep going. When I was going through boot camp, there was evaluations periodically. Every few days, the first few days in, and then at the halfway point, and then the last few days before we left of our six-week stay. When I was evaluated at the halfway point, I was told that I was doing a good job. I was told that I had high marks, and I don't say that to be proud, much to my shame, because after that, I started to slack off. I thought I was good to go. I thought that was it. I thought now I'm good, and I can just, you know, put my hands back, relax, and just cruise through the rest. And it showed. They told me at the end of my evaluation, that after the middle, they noticed a distinct difference in me as I went through boot camp. I didn't continue the fight. I relaxed, and I shouldn't have. Right? I plateaued at our mid-evaluation, and it continued until the end. I didn't continue to excel. I was given a new rank at the end among the middle of my peers in the pack, and I'll never forget that. I wasn't keeping myself prepared. I wasn't continuing the fight. I put in my time and effort, and I put myself on coast. I wasn't prepared for the end of my time at boot camp. That's where this overlap is, this live faithfully through this life. As we know, once you come up out of the water of baptism, you continue to live. You continue to live in this life. Like my military training, you have to continue to excel, not plateau, not get set on course and set it on cruise. So briefly, we're going to look here at a few more things that are set forth in Scripture that we must do. Things that we must do to be prepared for the end of our life. That is, the things that we will do through our life unto the end of our life. These are things that we must continue to do to keep ourselves prepared for the day that we know is coming, but we do not know the date in which it will come. This is where this overlaps, living faithfully through this life. First of the things that we must do is we must worship God correctly. In John 4, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it reads, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." There are plenty of people out there who have a sincere heart. They sincerely want to worship God, but they offer Him vain worship. They may want to please Him, but they don't take the time to understand. They don't take the time to look for the pattern, to look at what the Bible tells us to do. Again, bringing in my military experience here, I'll tell you of a pattern that I wish would have broken. Every morning at 4:30 a.m., a bell would go off. We had to get up out of bed and endure all these voices, I'll say that, that were telling us the things we needed to do that morning. I often thought to myself, you know, if I could just wake up naturally, if I could just rest and, you know, wake up normally, I'd be a lot better at this drill and ceremony stuff they were calling us to do in my military training, but that wasn't the case. That's not how I followed that pattern. No, there was a pattern that was set forward for me, and likewise, God has set forward a pattern for us, the things that we must do and must continue to do to be pleasing to Him. We know that from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, it tells us to worship God by singing, by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This doesn't leave room for anything else, right? We can't offer up anything else, otherwise it'd be vain worship. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is, in spirit, the right attitude with our whole heart, and in truth, in affectionately, and in truth, that is, by His word, logically. We must see it, and we must do what He tells us to do. The next thing that we must do to be prepared as we go through this life is we must take our salvation seriously. Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 1 through 4 reads, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His will." As Kent has been teaching in class, this is not a once saved, always saved thing. We live in a world where we have to continue and maintain our preparedness. We must continue to ensure our salvation through obedience and renewing our mind. We must remain steadfast and continue in our faith. I can't just get baptized and think, whoop, that's it. I'm good to go. Nope. I've opened a door when I'm baptized, but I must continue in this life to get through it. This is a daily thing. This is a choice that you make every day. As you take the things that God has said to us that we read very seriously. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it tells us we need to be renewing our mind. You know what that's like. You know what it's like to renew your mind. Maybe you get set in your ways and you think this is right and nothing else can be right. You need to open it up. You need to loosen it up. You need to be reading so that you don't slip away. This is the kind of renewing the mind that's being talked about. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, we see what it looks like when we talk about the Bereans. And we know what this says. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. What caused them to be fair-minded? They studied God's word. They looked to God's word daily. They took their salvation seriously every day. And so in that way, we too must take our salvation seriously. We have to continue to be prepared. We must continue in it until the end of our life. That is, to be prepared until death. Lastly, the things that we must do that we'll share this evening is we all must answer God one day. We all must answer God one day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." In Hebrews 4:13 reads, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account." It can sometimes happen to us that we get caught up in thinking that once we're baptized, our salvation is secure and we're done. But as Christians, we can attest that once you start, you have to keep running the race until it's over. There is no bowing out or being done early. "I've made my preparations, now I'm done." That's not how it works. We must keep these things in mind as we go through this life. Let's go back to my example of that military training again. I hit cruise. I just cruised and I thought I was done, and it ended up hurting me in the end. That's a very simple and real example that we can look at as a physical thing in this life. We might think of it as like a tree. What if a tree was growing and you just walked up to the tree and said, "You're doing a good job, you've done what you need to do," and then the tree stops growing? That's not how it works in nature. We don't see that. That's not how it works. It has to keep growing. That's what we need to be continually doing in our spiritual life. If we take that thought to our spiritual life, in our spiritual walk, if we bow out early, at the end of this life, we won't receive high marks. At the end of our spiritual life, we'll answer for every opportunity that we didn't take to grow. We'll answer for every opportunity that we didn't take to excel and provide fruit in the kingdom and good works with the time that we have on earth. We must answer to God one day for everything that we do in this life, for every opportunity that we didn't take, and for every way that we didn't serve Him when we knew that we should. These are just a few things. This is not an extensive list. These are just a few things we want to share this evening when we think about the things that we must do to be prepared, both for our salvation through Judgment Day and also for through the rest of this life. As we continue on in this life, we have to remain prepared. It's continual preparations that are being made. These are things that we must continue to be prepared in. Let's not get slack. Let's not have a lack of preparedness here, right? We need to be prepared here at New Lebanon. Let's continue to excel. And let us all the more rejoice as we see the end of this physical life coming and approach without regret this end, so we know that we have done all that we can. We approach the spiritual life, right, that is coming. It takes a lot to be prepared. It takes a lot to stay focused and to stay prepared. And there's many things that we must do. Friends, if you have any needs this evening, perhaps you're ready to start that Christian journey. You're ready to start it. There are two sections. You need to know what to do to get your salvation, and you need to know what to do to stay ready as we go through this life. We don't know when the end of our life will come, but once it comes, we won't be able to do anything else. We have this set time, and we need to make the most of it. We need to make preparations now. You know the truth of God's word that is right here in the water to fulfill God's will, and your life is right there. There's nothing that's going to hinder you from doing it, from being baptized, from putting on Christ in baptism. Maybe you need prayers from your brothers and sisters this evening. Maybe you're going through this life and you're working hard to attain that crown and things are just difficult at this time. Whatever your needs may be, this time is set apart for you. Please let those needs be made known as together we stand and sing.